Okay, let's get let's assemble ourselves. I've given y'all an extra 8 minutes of fellowship. Hundreds are coming forward. We're not doing that. They're not hundreds coming forward. They're just a few. Huh? Yes. Okay, this is our New Year's Eve, so let's begin with a word of prayer and orienting ourselves to a night together of opening the scriptures and singing and just drawing some time together. And then I'll turn y'all loose on the town. And let's. It's so good to have Dave and Linda here. I'm all the way from Tyler. We're just so glad to have y'all here. And boy, talk about, I brought the old Lang Syne to sing later. And Dave and Linda and I have a lot of old Lang Syne. And a lot of wonderful memories. And so let's have a word of prayer. What a wonderful time it will be in heaven, Heavenly Father. David looked forward to seeing people, and we do too. What a wonderful time, no time limit put on it in eternity. For we're building memories, wonderful memories in time, while we're in the flesh, walking the Spirit, building memories for eternity. And so, Father, we just pray that tonight will be just another wonderful memory that we will enjoy together in eternity. And pray that all that we do tonight will be glorifying to you and to your Son in the power of your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Brian, let's sing. Let's do another one. A lot of these are old Lang Syne, old hymns from a long time that just been in the church for a long time, not sung, I guess, by many big churches. But we'll sing it. good now. I grew up in a denominational church, and of course we had Sunday night, and I always loved Sunday night. That's when we did a lot of singing. I guess your church did that. And just great memories. The day that I did my mother's funeral, that day I just stole time myself away and went by the house, and then I went by and went into the church where I went as a little kid. My grandfather actually built the church, and went in there and just sat. It was really, we just sing these old songs. Dave, I guess you did too. You're singing. You ought to sing a solo for us tonight, Dave. Oh, did you grow up singing all these songs? Boy, I tell you what. You sang in a group. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They're all thinking I'm weird here. Oh, you can't be this bad. You can't get calls and say, you left your mic on. My goodness. I know Wes did. He grew up and Dad took him to play, and even if they knew the song or not, you play it. And he kind of picked it up while hundreds of people at a revival are singing it, and Wes is picking it up and playing it. In any key, he just started picking it up. It's fine with me if I'd have been there. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. And every Sunday night I went down. I did. Only way I'm going to get out of here is to go forward. This preacher is going to keep on going until somebody comes forward. I'm going forward. Oh, wonderful memories. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study. And let's begin so that we'll be in the right track to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Going to be just a New Year's Eve kind of challenge. And so, get ready for the new year as man calculates years. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're going to close out this year opening the Scriptures. One of the most wonderful things that we can do in our life if we're led by the Spirit. To allow your Spirit to open our eyes to things and to challenge us. Have communion together. So we just pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight and give us momentum going into the new year with an understanding that no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what's going on around us, we can have the most unbelievable peace in our soul. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. There are so many things going on in the world, politically, economically, especially in the Middle East. God only knows what's going to happen in America. Couldn't believe Edward says he was going to run for president again, so we got to go through all of that. And just so many changes going on and in our country. It's not the America that a lot of us knew growing up. Minnesota has sent a person to Washington, D.C., a devout Muslim, and the Muslims believe that all infidels must eventually be killed for Allah. California has sent a devout communist. And this is just the beginning of the year. We hadn't gotten into it yet. So I thought tonight we would, as we change the guard from 06 to 07, that we just spend a few moments on a thought that no matter what happens, that you and I can have inner peace. And one of the most wonderful things about the inner peace I'm going to talk about, it is totally independent of circumstances. totally independent of circumstances in your life, what's going around you, going on in your marriage, in your finance, in your health, totally independent of what's going on in the world. It's all inside, and it's supernatural. It's really wonderful to have the kind of peace that we're going to look at briefly tonight, because if everything's going well in life, we don't really know. I thought you were going to wear a tux tonight. Oh, you got it over there. Okay. I wanted to see you with your bow tie and have your coat on. We could let you be the usher. If things are going really well in your life, financially, romantically, everything's going well, your football team's winning, and everything's going well, there's a peace and a happiness. But you know, you don't know if that's really from the Holy Spirit. We like to think it is. But boy, when just all hell's going wrong in your life, and yet there's that inner peace, you know it's from the Holy Spirit. Because you know, I couldn't make this happen. I can't produce this kind of peace. This is something that is supernatural. I don't even understand how this works. I should be a nervous wreck. I should be totally depressed. I should have total anxiety. I should be angry. I should be this or that, whatever it is, under stress of soul and things that we studied under stress, anxiety, and depression. But I'm not. There's a calmness in my soul. And that's what I want to look at for a few moments tonight, getting ready. That no matter what happens in your life, it could be a financial thing. That's one way God gets our attention. That's one way Satan gets our attention. To take things away. It could be illness. I'm sure if I had David come up and talk about having cancer, I know mine with my heart attack. Sunday night before the operation, there was just unbelievable peace. It was not faked. It was not conjured up. Well, I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to do this, so I'll do this. It was natural. It was something inside, not natural, supernatural. It was just something that happens when you're in the power of His Spirit. And you can't fake it. And sometimes you really can't even explain it. The peace, and when you lay down to go to sleep, and there's just a wonderful peace that is there. And these are the kinds of things in our society. There are so many things, from natural disaster, political, and all these things. But what it doesn't matter. So what we're talking about tonight, what I want to share with you tonight, what I wish for you in the year of 07 is inner peace. Inner peace, regardless of what's going on. We start our study tonight by looking briefly at our last designation of the gospel. Remember, they gave you the table of content of the gospel that we're studying on Sunday morning with all of the designations of the gospel. And the last one on there is the gospel of peace. Please look at Ephesians chapter 2. So I just want to, I'm briefly going to hit this one because it serves a very good purpose of bouncing off into what I want to talk about and how you and I can have peace in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 14. Ephesians 2, 14, just reading it. For he himself, now this is Jesus Christ, and the Greek instruction, he and he alone is our peace. Now, I want to jump ahead and tell you what we're going to be talking about here is peace at salvation one. This is peace that you have with God eternally. You can never lose your salvation. But I want to bounce that into the peace we're going to talk about tonight in this respect. That no matter what's going on in your life, you know you have this eternal peace with Him. And that's going to flow over if you're in the Spirit. It's going to build on the peace that you and I have in the Spirit. There's nothing in your life, nothing that can happen that's going to disrupt your peace position with Him. And note that peace is a person. Peace here is a person. And I think we can relate to this. This analogy has flaws, of course, because I'm dealing with humans. But When someone we love loves us, and that love is going well, there's a wonderful peace, a wonderful happiness. Well, this peace is a person, and this person is Jesus Christ. So look at our passage. For he himself, Jesus Christ, he and he alone, is our peace, who made both groups into one. Now, very quickly, the both groups, one group is the Jews, one group are the Gentiles. Just to deal with it in context, that's what we're dealing with. And broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Now, that is one, the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. That is also the dividing wall that exists between all the human race and God. Now, let's talk about that just for a moment. When there is a barrier or a wall, there's enmity. And when you have enmity, you have the absence of peace. Can this wall have enmity and have peace? By illustration, take a marriage. If there is a wall, there's a barrier in the marriage. There's hostility, resentment, anger, something's going on. It can be extreme silence or very loud arguing. But there's not this peace when there's that wall going there and there. And so it is in our soul, in our relationship with the Lord, with God, that if there's a barrier, it's not going to be this peace. And the world as unbelievers, there was a barrier between God and the human race. And Jesus Christ tore down that barrier, establishing peace, and that's why it says our peace is a person, the person of Jesus Christ. When you are not at peace with God, then people, I want to tell you something, regardless of what you may believe, you're not at peace with each other. You're dealing with each other on the flesh. That doesn't mean, oh, we're really happy and all that. No, you're dealing with each other on a flesh relationship. And that can easily snap. That can easily turn into competition, anger, jealousy, hate, a lot of things. But when we have experientially this peace with God, as we're going to see tonight, then it's a powerful thing that happens in our life. Look at verse 15. Now, he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh, this is the cross work of Christ, the enmity, which is the law, the Mosaic law, of the commandments contained in ordinances, written on stone, and Paul in Corinthians, written on stone, that in himself he might make the two into one man. That's the Jew and the Gentile into one new man, the church, thus establishing peace. And here's the secret, what we're going to be looking at tonight, making the two into one and establishing peace. I'm going to show you that as we go through. Verse 16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God. That's going to be the church. Through, by means of the cross. By it having put to death the enmity. Verse 17. And he came and preached peace. This is what we'll study, the gospel of peace. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, that's Gentiles, and peace to those of you who are near, that's the Jews. Verse 18, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. This is why it is by faith, as we're going to see, and all the way through this thing. Now turn just a few pages to Ephesians 6. Turn just a few pages to Ephesians 6, verse 15. Here is our study that we'll do at the end of our study of the Gospels, the Gospel of, right now. Verse 15 of Ephesians 6, and having sawed your feet with the preparation of the Gospel of peace, the good news of peace. Now, the peace that is being talked about here is the peace that you and I have with God eternally. And the main thing I want to say about that tonight, that's not really our study, but it bounces into our study, flows into our study, rolls into our study, because always remember you have this peace. And if you have nothing else to encourage you to get back into the filling of the Spirit, maybe you're like the prodigal son and get so far away. Maybe you just get depressed. Maybe you just get so frustrated with life and you're just sitting in darkness. Always remember, as an encouragement to get back into the filling of the Spirit, by your peace with God. It may not feel like it to you. It may not even look like it to you. But you're at peace with Him. You may not even understand that. But I've just committed all these sins. I've just done all these horrible things. You're at peace with Him. And you can't undo that. You cannot take away that peace. And that's going to be an encouragement to get back into the Spirit and experience the peace that we're going to talk about tonight. Let's go to the Old Testament. Isaiah. Isaiah 52. Great book of Isaiah. Isaiah 52. Another very beautiful passage, but I just want to note one quick thing, and as we look at our study tonight, Isaiah 52, verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Good news is the gospel, gospel news. Now, we want to look at what is this good news, but know what we're seeing here, how lovely are the feet of Him who brings the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to have feet that they're going to put on television advertising something. This is talking about how lovely are the feet that bring this good news, that carried you there to these people that you give it to. How lovely on the mountains, and that mountain is, we're going to see the battle, the walk to get up the mountain, are the feet of Him who brings the good news. What is the good news? Who announces peace and brings good news of happiness. So we have the gospel of peace, the gospel of happiness. Good news of peace, good news of happiness. Who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. So here in one verse, we have both the concept, here the gospel of peace, the gospel of happiness, this is your salvation. Now this is talking about the peace that I want to talk about tonight. This is talking about experiential peace that you and I can enjoy every day, no matter what is going on. In our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, what was lacking in so many believers when I was in that study and reading and doing all of the just work in a lot of different places, it's amazing the number of people just didn't have inner peace. They weren't crying for happiness. A lot of people, I really want happiness. When you know you're really hurting when if there was just peace in my soul. I don't even care about being happy. This is a person who hurts. Not many people, in one way I hope you never experience it, another way I hope you do, so then you'll know how wonderful these things are. But it's a horrible place. You're so in turmoil in your soul. You know, if happiness is, that's too much to ask God for. I just need peace. Just some contentment, some calmness inside. And it amazed me the number of believers who this is a great problem going on, looking for a quietness, a calmness, not dependent on external events, because my external events are why I'm stressed, anxiety, depression, sad, angry, all these things. Just if in the you don't even pray to God take away these things. There's a point where, oh God, take this away, because you're really strong, you can still, then you just so much in you just say, I don't even care if you don't take it away. Just God, if I could just have some peace tonight to go to sleep. If things would just be calm in my soul so that I could go to sleep. A peace not dependent on things, because I know they're not going to change. I know they're not going to change. I know my finances are not going to change. My health is not going to change. My wife is not going to change. Being funny. This is not going to change. My husband's not going to change. I know these things are not going to change. And that's okay, God, if I could just experience some peace. Well, people, no matter what happens in 07, little things, big things, we're going to see you can have this inner peace if you choose to. And we're going to see that you have enemies. That's right. You have enemies that do not want you to have this peace. Got three sets of enemies. And one of them is your own flesh nature. One of them is Satan. He doesn't want you to have peace. It's just amazing. He does not want you to have peace. But your own flesh nature doesn't want you to have it either. And the world doesn't want you to have it. One more passage in this movement of our study. Please look with me at Romans 5. Romans 5. Okay, I hope that by now, even though we haven't gotten past verse 1 in Romans, that you are so aware of the study. All right, it's not that funny. The laughter doesn't need to go on and on. Okay. But Romans 1, 2, 3, 4 relates to the unbeliever. And it relates to how the unbeliever can have peace with God. The chapters 1 through 4 relate to how God moves the unbeliever to the point of His kindness. All the things we're going to study on homosexuality and a lot of horrible things going on in the Romans in these early chapters. But what I want you to begin to understand, these are all the things God is using to bring them to His kindness of peace with God. Chapter 5 is going to begin the study of all that God is going to do to bring believers to the point of finding His peace with God. Now, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, coming off of chapter 4, having been justified by faith, this is your eternal salvation, justification, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There we see that peace is a person again. This is one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. This is something you have, people. This is the beginning of really of our whole study for the New Year's right here. It is the present active indicative. Well, I don't need to put on a board. It isn't dramatic. But it's the Greek word echo, and it means to have and to possess. It means to have something you can never lose. That's what we have this. This is something you possess forever and ever. Please don't forget it. No matter what happens in 07, whether it's your fault or not is inconsequential to this point, what we're studying. Whatever your circumstances are, and especially if you're alone in it, friends have gone, you remember this. You possess something. You may look around and say, I don't possess very much. Yes, you do. This is what you have. Look what it says. We have, we possess, keep on having this, cannot lose this, peace. The Greek word for peace is Irene. It's where we get the girl's name, Irene. I knew some Irenes, and they weren't very peaceful giving. But that's what their name meant. Their name means peace, peaceful. And that's our Greek word here, peace. It's the absence of turmoil. That's what the word means. Now it says, with God. We have the preposition, pros, with God. Okay, this I will put on the board now. Now we're getting into some fun stuff for our study. There are two concepts of peace in the New Testament that we want to be aware of throughout the year. And they're both applicable to what we're going to be studying tonight, what we are studying tonight, and that is peace with God. And then there is the peace of God. And that's the two different ways these things are translated. The Greek is translated. So we have one, we have the peace with God. And then we have peace of God. Now let's talk about peace with God. People, this is what you experienced. Salvation 1 or eternal life salvation. This is what we studied and read in Hebrew in Ephesians. This is yours. This is what we're looking at in Romans 5. This is yours. Peace with God. You can't lose it. There's nothing you can do to take it away. Oh, you can scream and holler and make things unpeaceful and be unpeaceful. But as far as your relationship with God is concerned, as far as He's concerned, perfect peace. He just kind of, it's almost like He's just standing there watching you throw your little temper tantrum. Why are you doing that? Why are you so upset? Everything's okay here. Everything is fine between us. You're in my Son, and my Son is peace. So that's the peace with God. It's yours. This one, you can have and lose. This one you can have and lose and have and lose and go back and forth. This one, every believer has, whether you experience it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you take advantage of it or not, you have that one, peace with God, through faith in Christ and Christ's work on the cross. Now, peace of God, in the year of 2007, you may not have it. You may not experience it. You may experience it one time and then not at another. You may experience it and then lose it. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Don't lose it. Especially when you need it. When you really need it. To have the peace of God. Because that's what's really important. Peace with God. This you received, again, at Salvation 1. Peace of God. This is an inner peace. That is yours experiential. You will experience this one, people. You won't experience peace with God. You won't experience that. You will experience the peace of God. Something will happen in your soul that you will experience this peace. You won't even be able to explain it, probably. I know sometime I can't. You just can't explain it. All you can do is say, I'm just peaceful. And you mean it. It's not faked. You didn't conjure it up. It's there. It's real. And you experience it. I don't like the word feel, but if you want to say it that word, you feel it. You will experience this peace going on inside when normally I should be a nervous wreck. I'm going to die. I may die tomorrow. I don't have any money. This isn't happening. And start blaming people. Having real problems. Fear. Jealousy. All kinds of things going on. But no. There's just a calmness. A peace. And what is so funny, I know I'm speaking experientially. Paul does, so we'll do it every now and then. I guess I can do it. But I know I experienced greater peace going through the time frame, but especially the night before the time frame of a quadruple bypass operation, then I did sometimes my garage door won't open. Well, it won't open, I'm going to be... But boy, when I needed that peace, and you just walk in the Spirit, it is, people, it's unbelievable. And that's what I want you to have in 07 every day. Whether it's the garage door that won't open, or your heart won't tick, or something's going on. Your billfold won't give you any money. Whatever it is, you can have this peace of God. It's of God. It's His. It's supernatural. It doesn't depend on circumstances. And that's what we're going to see in this study. So here, the peace, here in our study, what is it? Peace with God. See, look what it says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, next we have the basis of the peace with God. And it's not by or through or because of anything you do or going on in your life. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, by the incarnation, God becoming flesh, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension and session, Jesus Christ established peace with God. It's always there. It's always there. It's like a wise parent. A wise parent may be angry what you did, but you never need to run. You never need to be in fear and go hide. And you don't need to do what the Roman Catholics do. Go find some saint and try to go through them. Go through some Mother Mary. Go through this nonsense. He's a God, you just go straight to Him. In that study of sad, I learned a lot about what I didn't know. Because in our family, I tell you, Mom could just be ready to draw blood, and I do mean that, with a razor strap. But I want to tell you something. The dinner was on the table, and clean sheets were on the bed, and a good night hug was always there. I don't care. If she's putting Band-Aid on the blood, the hug was there. People, you have peace with Him. With Him, always. It's there. You can't lose that. Christ established that. Peace, whether we're talking about the peace with God or the peace of God, the Latin word is pax. You might know it from Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Now, pax, if we studied it in that respect, comes about in two different ways. One is by some agreement, some compact or covenant, which produces peace. If you think between some country that Rome is coming upon and getting ready to attack, and they go out and they negotiate a peace, a contract between Rome and this thing, and so you have the peace of Rome. All right, we're not gonna burn and pillage your city. Everything's peaceful. Rome comes in. We take half your money, and we give you roads. We do this, but there's no war. It's by contract that you have it. Okay, we have a covenant with God. It's an unconditional covenant. You understand that, unconditional? That means you didn't do anything. It's unconditional. He did everything to establish this peace. So that's one way that we can have this peace. Another way of understanding the Latin word pax, simply from the concept to be at ease, to stop, to be at rest, to be at peace. This is what I'm going to show you happens with the peace of God. That no matter what's going on in your life, how we can have and experience the peace of God with us. Now, another way of looking at peace, very quickly, this is not long doctrines, just talking with you now. Peace may refer, and often does to most people when they talk about it, external conditions between people or nations, family members, church members. There's no war going on, no fighting going on. Or it can be a peace in reference to the inner state of the mind. What's going on inside you? Your mind can be peaceful. Now, there are basically two causes of inner peace. There are basically two causes of inner peace. One, an inner peace that is dependent on external circumstances. This is the one that most people experience. This is the one that most people desire. They think that as long as everything is going well in their lives, they're peaceful. And their mind is peaceful. Everything is fine. I know some people. This is the truth. I know some people that if everything is going fine, they're going to cause it not to go fine. They can't handle that. I'm serious. Adults. They can't handle that. If everything is going fine, they don't like that, so they're going to cause something to fly across the room. They're going to cause some kind of turmoil. They'll find something. But most people like this external, everything's fine, and as long as everything's fine, then it's fine in their soul, and their life is peaceful, therefore their soul is peaceful. And sometimes Christians like to say it's the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't. The second one, though, is the one I wish for you in 07. This is a state of mind of peace that has absolutely nothing to do with whatever's going on in your life. Has nothing to do with what's going on in your life. This peace is independent of external stimuli. It doesn't depend on things being good. Doesn't depend on things going well physically, romantically, financially, politically, in nature, whatever. The weather doesn't depend on any. It's going on inside your soul. Totally independent of these other things. In Romans 5:1 and Ephesians 2, this was a permanent peace with God. With God, put it back on the board here. Permanent peace with God that you can never lose. It's the gospel of peace. It's based on the work of Christ on the cross. But let's look at a peace that is of God. Turn with me to Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, this is enough for a good month of studying and understanding and grasping. But let's just work through it for a few minutes tonight. And the peace of God. Now, we saw the peace with God, but now we're looking at the peace of God. This is a peace that you can experience in your life every day in 07. People, the peace of God is totally dependent upon you. Totally. It is. I'll show you that when we come back, when we look at our last passage. This one is totally dependent upon you if you're going to experience the peace of God. It has nothing to do with anything outside of you. It has nothing to do with any other person, any other member of the human race. This one is totally up to you if you're going to experience the peace of God. And every one of us can experience it every day if you choose to do so. Let's take a look at a few things. This is what we call experiential peace. This is a peace that a believer can actually experience in life. And the peace of God, let's just note the rest of it because we're going to move on from this point. Let's talk about this peace. It surpasses all comprehension. What does that mean? Well, very quickly, very simply, you can't figure it out. I don't know how this is happening. All I know is that normally I would be a nervous wreck. I know that normally I'd be trying to do something about this. I know that normally I would try to take control of things. I know normally, but there's something happening. I'm just at total peace. Where I need a drink, I'd fall apart, whatever your person's deal is. I'd need to bake a chocolate cake and eat it. I would need to do this, I would need to do that. Whatever it is I'd need to do. But for some reason, there's a peace inside my soul. And others will see it. And won't be able to explain this. That's what beyond, which surpasses all comprehension. People, it means, see, I can comprehend a peace that depends on circumstances. I can see that. I can comprehend a peace that comes from this person being with me. No matter what's going on, if my wife is with me, if my husband is with me, this person is with me, and God forbid if my dog is with me, but whatever is with me, I can, okay. But this doesn't even depend on that. This doesn't depend on any of those things. I can't comprehend this peace. My circumstances do not dictate this, what's going on inside of me. So whatever happens in your life in 07, and who knows what's going to happen? Health, finance, the world, nature, who knows? Total disorientation to life as you knew it, there can be this peace going on inside your soul if you want it. Now, if your ideal is to be in control, and being in control is throwing a temper tantrum and a fit and being totally under stress and anxiety and depression and all these other things, then fine. Go that way. But I'm here to wish for you, in the year of 07, inner peace, regardless of the circumstance. And I'll even go another way for a moment. Let's say things are going really well. Your peace isn't dependent on that. Because people, if your peace is dependent on that, think about it with me. If your peace in your soul is dependent on things going well, what happens when they don't go well? What happens when they stop going well? What happens when the sunny day turns into a storm? If you were depending on that sunny day. So even in the good times, you're going to experience this inner peace. The only problem here, as I've said this earlier, but let me say it again. The only problem is, it's hard to tell, isn't it? I know I'm trusting His Spirit. I wonder if this is really the Spirit, or just because everything's going so doggone good. Everything's just going my way. Is my inner peace, is it of the Spirit, or is it circumstance? So what I want you to do, and what I want to do, is we want to have this inner peace every day. So that even when wonderful things, we don't get too high where we can come down too low. We just maintain this inner peace. So look at it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Now it says shall guard. The Greek word means to guard, but it means to garrison. A garrison means to take control of your heart. It means to guard it from harm, in other words. This is not talking about the red ticker. This is talking about the real you here. Shall garrison your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we're going to come to that when we come back. I'm going to save about 5 minutes for that, and then we'll do the communion. Now, we got a question. We got a question. Boy, this sounds great. How do I get this inner peace of God? I can have it. I can lose it. I don't want to lose it. See? If you've ever played games, a card game or any kind of game, maybe you don't gamble, but if you're, sometimes you're just hot. And who knows how that happens? I mean, man, you ought to be in Las Vegas that night because you're just hitting everything. I don't. If you play Monopoly, you just land on all the right stuff. So we'll just take anything you want. Then sometimes you couldn't land on anything if you had to in Monopoly. All you land on is go to jail. And this kind of stuff. People, this isn't what I'm talking about here. Sometimes you got it, sometimes you lose it. I don't know when. No, you know when. And you're going to know how. This isn't just something, well, sometimes I have that peace of God, and you know, sometimes I don't. And I guess it's just like kind of playing a game. Sometimes you're hot and sometimes you're not. No. This isn't that at all, people. This is up to you whether you're going to have this. So the question rises, how do we get this inner peace? Note what it says. Peace of God. Now, which member of the Godhead do you think we're talking about? The Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 5. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5:22. Somebody asked me, well, how's it going to go tonight? And I said, oh, maybe 7:30 to about 8:20. Okay, and I know they're going to hold me to it. I'm already 10 minutes behind, but we sang a lot, so I'm off the hook a little bit. All right. Yeah, we started late, and then we sang. So, Brian took too long singing. See, so it's all Brian's fault. Okay, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. This is God. This is God, the Holy Spirit. Is love. Oh, that's how I meant to start tonight. I had a great way to start. I thought about it driving over. Believe it or not, we're not going to talk about spiritual love tonight. But because we're not, we're going to talk about something else, and that's what we're talking about. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, inner happiness, and joy, or peace. Joy or peace, and peace. Then it says patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law of the divine nine. So many Christians are worried about the Ten Commandments and they don't know the first thing about the divine nine. People don't care about the Ten Commandments. It's the divine nine. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're concerned here with the fruit of peace. This is what I wish for you in the year of 07. This is what God not only wishes for you, but has graciously provided for you people. God not only wishes you to have this peace throughout the year of 07, He's made it possible. He's made it so easy for us to enjoy and experience this peace. So if you desire the peace of God throughout the year, no matter what's going on in your life, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Great question now. Got a second question. How do I experience this peace of God? Answer, this peace of God is not dependent on circumstances. It's a fruit of the Spirit. What's an obvious question? How do I get it from the Holy Spirit? How do I experience this fruit? People, we experience the work of the Holy Spirit just like we experience the work of Christ on the cross. Faith. Trust the Holy Spirit to do His work, to pour His fruit, to pour this peace in you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's supernatural. It's a peace of God. It's a peace of God. People, what do we talk about? Love, we'll talk a minute about it, even though it's not our study. Spiritual love. Why do we call it spiritual love? Because it's not of the flesh. You can't produce this love. And I think every one of you understand that now. We cannot produce the love God is looking for, to love Him, to love His Son, to love one another. It's supernatural. Just as you cannot produce that love, you cannot produce this peace. You can't produce it. Some woman can't produce it. Some man can't produce it. Some winning some jackpot isn't going to. Some lottery can't produce this peace. Oh yeah, I'd be real happy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this peace that's inside your soul. That's not dependent on things. It is produced by God. It is supernatural. So how do we get it? By faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a warning. There's a warning. You have three enemies that do not want you to have this peace. You have three enemies. There are three enemies do not want you to experience this peace. And one of the enemies are the world, the cosmic system, the flesh, and the devil. I want to talk about this one, the flesh. That's you. But I do want peace. No, you don't. Not if you're in the flesh. Because you see, the flesh, your flesh nature, the you who you are in the flesh desires a peace based on security, based on things outside of yourself, based on things you do. Therefore, if you don't have what you want, if the flesh doesn't have what the flesh wants, there's no peace, and it's not going to leave you alone. It's not going to leave you alone at night to sleep. It's not going to leave you alone so that you can just calm down and enjoy the peace of God. It isn't going to let you. The flesh is going to eat away at you at night, eat away at you at day. It's going to make you see how unpeaceful you are, how angry you are, how upset you are, how fearful you are, how frustrated you are, how depressed you are, how all these things. It's just going to eat away at you. This is what the flesh will do. It does not want you to have this peace. And it will just keep eating and eating and eating. And you will not be able to sleep. And your smiles will be fake. It's not going to be there. So just remember, you have, and the devil doesn't want you to have it. We could spend some time on that. If you're dependent, people, if you're dependent on circumstances for your inner peace, you can bank on it. You will experience turmoil in your soul. You will not experience this peace if it's dependent on circumstances. They'll break down. I think one of the most amazing things on the reality of this is I myself know, and I'm sure you do, some wealthy people that are miserable. And you just sit back here, How could they be so miserable? If I had half of their money, if I had just three of their homes, I would be totally happy. They're miserable. It's not on the circumstances. And believe me, you wouldn't be either if you think you will be. Adam and Eve were in perfect environment, but they didn't do it. We're talking about a peace that's supernatural, that just doesn't depend on things. And that's what we won in the year of 07. Well, I want to look at one more passage when we come back, but we'll take us a little break and have some fellowship and some food and talk and laugh. And then we'll come back when Wes starts. Well, we'll probably have him play some, just put it on. But then we'll come back in about 10 or 15 minutes after I think you've eaten enough or you're going to fall asleep in the second half. And we'll have a little study and then communion and then Auld Lang Syne. You're dismissed. Okay, let's continue on now in the festivities of the year. And I think a hymn that is befitting to our study of experiencing the peace of God in the year of 07 is hymn number 339. And most of you know the story behind the song, the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And it is just so befitting to this. And I know that you've just eaten a little bit, so we better stand. That's, that food gets down there and you can't sing, so you got to stand up so you can sing. So let's stand and sing all four verses. "It Is Well With My Soul."
There is
Thank you. There's one other passage that I would like us to take a look at. Let's first of all open up to Philippians 4:7 again, please, where we left off. People, this is not a Dale Carnegie course on attitude and all of that type of nonsense. This is a reality. And I do hope that all of us will experience throughout the year of 07 the peace that we're studying. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God surpasses all comprehension. Can't comprehend how this is happening. Shall guard your heart and regard it from the intrusion of the flesh and the world and the devil, who will try to come in and mess with your peace. Try to come in and cause it to be disrupted. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. This is what this peace will do. Your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now I'd like you, in closing tonight, in closing of this study, let's look at, to me, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, especially on this subject, Isaiah 26. Let's look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. The steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he trust in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Here I do prefer the King James, but let's just go through it in verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. So, let's know what we have going on. You, God, is the one who's going to do this. For our study and understanding from Galatians, this is God the Holy Spirit. So, God the Holy Spirit will keep, and there's your key, will keep you, but we're going to see when and how he does this, in perfect peace. Perfect peace, the concept of perfect here, just highlighting it without going into the Hebrew and putting it on the board, it's a peace divorced of all the circumstances of life. This is perfect because it's not dependent on any of those things. It can't be disrupted by those things, whether you have or don't have them. This is perfect. This is the peace of God. Now, God will keep in perfect peace, but there is something that goes with that, whose mind is stayed on thee. So we have to put it this way, whose mind is stayed upon him. Okay, this does a lot of things. First of all, it tells you why you can lose the peace of God. You can lose it. You can never experience it if you don't want to. But if you've got it, we'll go with that kind of concept in our talk. You can lose this. Because the moment you take your mind off him, I think one of the clearest pictures of seeing this is from the Bible. As long as that big-footed fisherman Peter kept his mind focused on the Lord, he walked on the water. Water's raging. Circumstances raging. But for Peter, the water was peace. As long as he stayed there. The moment Peter took his mind off and saw, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm going to drown. And sure enough, he drowned till the Lord pulled him out. It's dependent upon you. This peace, see, the peace with God is not dependent on you. Peace of God is dependent upon you. Secondly, this shows us where the battle is. The battle is right here, inside of you, your mind. It's not outside of you. It's not the world. It's not the devil. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not society. It's not your boss. It's not the teachers. It's not anyone. It's right inside. All inside you. It's up to you. No matter whatever anybody else is doing, it's up to you. Whose mind is stayed? What does that mean, stayed? That means you continue to walk by faith. People, the minute we get our eyes and our mindset onto the things of the world, how they're not going the way we want them to, how this is not happening the way we want, this is occurring, this isn't occurring, all these other things, your mind isn't stayed on Him. Your mind isn't stayed there. You've moved from walking by faith to walking by sight. And when you walk by sight, you're going to lose this peace. I promise you that. You're going to lose it. But if we walk and keep our mind stayed on Him, result, then God keeps in perfect peace. Now you're ready for the second verse. Verse 4. Now the way the New American Standard had it, the steadfast mind, as the mind stayed on Him, God will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in Him, walking by faith. Trust in the Lord forever. Now for you and for me, this isn't talking about salvation, eternal life salvation. It's talking about experiential life throughout, no matter what's going on. Forever here, don't think about forever in terms of way out there. Forever is right now, today. Right now, in whatever day of 07 it has to be. That's the forever. He'll do this forever. He'll do it no matter what the circumstances are. Trust in the Lord forever. Keep walking by faith. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. There's your stability. There's your peace, no matter what's going on. So I wish for you in the year of 07 to enjoy this inner peace, regardless of what's happening in your life. And it's in your mind. Stayed upon Him. One thing about in your mind, we studied this when we did stress, anxiety, depression. I want to end this with this coming from that study of stress, anxiety and depression, sad, and what we're looking at here. People, the absence of peace does not just happen. A lot of people think that anxiety, depression, a turmoil in the soul happens and it's out of our control. No, it is not out of your control. Your thought precedes whatever's happening in your soul. Your thoughts precede depression, anxiety, frustration, fear, worry, anger, jealousy, whatever it is that's disrupting your peace. That is a decision you make. This is very difficult. It was difficult when we did it in SAD, and it's difficult for people to comprehend. No. This depression and this is not a trial. I wouldn't choose to be. Yes, you do. You choose. This is the way I want to think. I can just as easily choose to keep my mind stayed on Him. You can just as easily do it, people. I'm here to point this out to you for 07. You do not have to be those things. You choose to be them. And you may have to think about this. Maybe go back and get the tapes in this section in SAD. Because it's a very important point. We choose those things. Remember how we used this illustration? The phone rings, you pick it up, your child just died on the highway. It's up to you now. Are you going to fall apart? Are you going to immediately start blaming somebody for giving them the car, letting them go, all this kind of stuff? Or before you even do anything with that phone, you go into prayer. And you keep your mind stayed on Him. It's your choice. It's the best illustration I know how to give on this. Stress, depression, anxiety, worry, fear, all the things that disrupt our peace is a choice that you and I make. And it's just as easy to keep your mind stayed on Him. Not on your circumstances, not on what is or is not happening, not how you would like to have it differently. Just keep your mind stayed on Him. And what the Holy Spirit will do, He pours in His fruit of peace. That's all I wanted to do this New Year's Eve. But let me tell you where we could go from here. When you got that kind of peace, you know what, people? You can think now. You can pray. You can make sound decisions in the Spirit. You can be an encouragement to others. You can love as Christ loved. But if you're falling apart, if there is no peace inside of you, you cannot give peace to anyone else. It's up to you. It's up to me. You're going to keep your mind stayed on Him. Simple, but it's not easy, people. It's not easy. I'm not up here saying this is easy. You've got the flesh who doesn't want you to do it. You've got the devil who doesn't want you to do it. You've got all kinds of things, pressures working on the outside world against you, the cosmic system. They don't want you to do it. So while it is simple, it's not easy. And that's why Paul said, the battle is faith. That's your battle. People, your battle is not sinning. Your battle is not falling apart. Your battle is not going into fear and worry and all these things we talk about. Your battle is keeping your mind stayed on Him. Your battle is to trust Him. Will I trust you today? Will I trust you this hour? And if you choose to do that, then the Holy Spirit can pour in His peace. That's what can happen. That's the mechanics of how this happened. We Anglo-Saxons like mechanics. That's your mechanics. That's right. Other people have other ways they analyze things. Anglo-Saxons are 1, 2, 3, 4. Just the way Anglo-Saxons think. Going all the way back into our heritage of the dividing of the people after the Tower of Babel. Spreading of people over the earth. And that's how simple it is. We'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on Him. You take a look off of Him. Look at the waves. Look at the water. You're going to sink, people. You're going to sink, I promise you. Now, what's beautiful is He's there to pick you up. And He'll pick you up when you stumble. But you don't even have to stumble, no matter what happens to us. So when things start happening in 07, politics, and you start getting angry, things start happening in America, this hurts me. I understand why Jeremiah cried when he looked at Jerusalem. I understand why Christ cried when He looked at Jerusalem. It hurts things going on in America. But people, we can't let that disrupt the peace that's inside of us. It's far beyond America. It's about your relationship with Him. And your ability to help others and love as Christ loved. You can't do it if you don't keep your mind stayed on Him and have this peace. Okay, let's have some communion. And for communion tonight, as we leave this year, I'd like you to open your scriptures to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16. I thought about communion tonight. I knew it wasn't going to be a long communion, but how are we going to do it? What's going to be kind of the momentum of it, the motif of it, that would be befitting to our whole study? And remember this great passage that I loved when we did it in our series of communion. And so we will start with, the Lord says something interesting. If you recall our study in this, the Lord says something interesting at the Passover, where he's changing from the Passover to the first communion, the last Passover, the first communion. It says he took bread and broke it. And the scriptures made an emphasis of that. And for a long time, we related the breaking with the work of Christ on the cross, and that was good. But I still wondered, where did this breaking bread, that term, we don't normally say that. We didn't kind of cut the bread or something, but break the bread. And so I went to the library at Dallas Seminary one day, and I just went in and set aside three quarters of a day, if that's what it took, and just went through a lot of stuff in the library at seminary, and came across this Jewish custom. And I'm going to emphasize the positive aspect of it. But there was a Jewish custom. And that custom was that if somebody that you loved lost someone they loved, death, somebody they loved died. Didn't matter how, they died. Well, it was the custom that in your home you couldn't have any leaven. So you could have no bread, you could have nothing with leaven. It was all cleaned out for a week. You moved it all out of your house. So, on the day of the burial, for an example, you have nothing in your house to eat. You've gone through the day, and if you've ever been through it, it's a little draining physically. Even if you're in the spirit, it drains your physical body. So, what you would do as a friend, you would go over to their house in the early evening, when it's all over. And you would sit down with that person, and you would have a little bag. And now this person's lost someone they love. Let's say it's a woman who's lost her husband, just for fun. Not for fun, for a reason. But let's just say we'll pick on the lady here. The husband is gone. So what is she going to do? He's always taking care of her. She's always just been, he's always pumped the gas, cleaned the windows, cleaned the car, taking care of the bills. They paid the bills, took care of this, mowed the yard, and took out the garbage. He's a wonderful man, isn't he, ladies? And he did this and did all these things. He's gone. What do I do? Well, what you would do is, as a friend, because you love that person, you would have your bag, and you would open up your little bag, and the first thing you would take out was a cake of leavened bread. So you got bread, good bread to eat. Not two. One. One little cake. Not a cake for you and a cake for them. One cake. It's the way they baked it. And what you would do in front of that person is you would break it. Break that bread. And you would give them half. And you would take half. They knew what you were doing. You are sharing their sorrow. You didn't have to. You broke it. You're sharing their sorrow. And what you want to do is you want to comfort them. See, when we're hungry, we're comforted when we get to eat. Someone like me is comforted whether we're hungry or not. If we get to eat, we're still. It's good. But they haven't eaten. And they've gone through a tumultuous day. So you've given them some comfort. Just take this. Good for you. And you would eat. And they would take that bread. And that's what you were doing. The bread of comfort. To comfort them over the death of someone that they loved. Then you'd reach in your bag. And you'd pull out your little jug. Your little bottle old wine, good wine in there. And you would take a cup, and you would pour them some, and you would pour you some. Put your bottle down and give them the cup. What was that cup? This cup had wine in it. Now, we can talk about what wine does eventually to all of us, but there's an exuberance in wine. You drink wine, and you just, at first you feel real good. We know what happens later, but there's an exuberance with it. You feel good. It's enjoyable. What is that? That wine that you gave them was encouragement. Okay, they're gone. Now I encourage you to move on. Encourage you to go on with your life. You're here. And this is wine of exuberance. Look with me at verse 7 so we can see how this came about. Now, here it's in the negative, which at first I didn't like, but oh man, this really hurts it. But really it helped the point I want to make, because under extreme circumstances of divine judgment, you don't do this. So we're going to take a positive thing and emphasize the positive out of what our passage is. But look at it. Neither will men break bread in mourning for them. And that's the custom. What I gave you is the Jewish custom of breaking the bread. This is the only other place I could find where breaking bread was in the Bible. Where'd that come from? This is where it came from. To comfort anyone for the dead. Now the custom is, just what we saw, you'd go in and comfort them for the death of someone they loved. So it was the bread of comfort. Nor give them a cup, that's your wine, of consolation, encouragement, to drink for anyone's father or mother who died in the catastrophe that's in our text. Now what I'd like you to do, let's go from that Jewish custom. Let's go to the upper room. Who's going to die? Jesus Christ is going to die. The host at the table that we're studying on Wednesday night is going to die. Not somebody else, him. And when he does die and leave and depart, these disciples and us, the church, we're the bride. That's why I picked on the lady where the husband dies. The groom is going to leave. Jesus Christ is going to leave. He's going to depart and go home to the Father. What are we going to do? The disciples sitting there, they followed him. They've given up their work for this man. For some 3 years, in and out of 3 years, this has been going on, and now he's going to depart. So Christ is telling them, I'm going to die. I'm going to depart. And break this bread. It's comfort. To comfort you over my departure. Isn't that beautiful? That tells you about our Savior. He's the one dying, and he comforts them. That's what kind of Savior you have. That's what kind of friend you have. That's what kind of friend you want to be. He's going to die, but he takes it and he comforts them about it. Then he's going to take a cup. He's going to pour wine in it and pass that out. And what's that called? That's called the cup of the new covenant. What is that? That's encouragement. I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you without knowing what to do. I'm leaving you with the encouragement on how to live every day without me. No matter what's going on, you're not going to be bewildered. You're not going to be orphans. You're going to know exactly what to do, because I'm leaving you the encouragement of the cup of the new covenant. And what is the new covenant? The Holy Spirit. Inside of us, leading, guiding, empowering, giving us peace. So think about this as we go through the elements. And it's our custom that everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served. Let's pray. Father, as we go into the communion, closing out 1 year and changing of the guard to a new year, In our mind, this is an event in humans, the way you made us, and your scriptures pointed out. As we go into this new year, Heavenly Father, as we take this communion to change the guard, we're comforted. We're comforted in peace with God. There's no longer any fear or worry of judgment. We have peace with God. And that's what this bread tells us and reminds us tonight. Your Son came, broke down the barrier, and we have a constant eternal peace. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Paul says, "For I receive from the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until all have been served. Try to hold until everyone gets theirs before you drink it. Will you please stand? Cup that you hold in your hand represents the encouragement that Jesus Christ gives to the church, to us individually, to even though he has departed and is not here, he sits at the right hand of the Father, that we do not need to be disturbed, that we can have peace every day, regardless of what's going on, because of the new covenant that we have in the Spirit. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." In closing out the year and in keeping with the ideal of peace, I'd like you to take in your hymnals to the very end of your songs, "Never Alone." It's at the very end. You have attached a couple of songs and let Pharisees of high esteem, victory of grace, and let's sing all four verses of Never Alone, that no matter what happens in the year of 07, you're never alone, so you can always call on this peace. Okay, every one of you should have the national anthem of New Year's, "Auld Lang Syne." Does everyone have their copy? Everybody should be able to read it. And so, yes. Now, this being such a short song in reality, I'm going to have Wes just play through once, and then Brian will all join in and sing. Okay. Thank you. Happy New Year!